Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 1. "And you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins." We'll continue reading to bring in the context. "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." We also have a subtext this morning from the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14, which reads, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Three applications we shall draw from our scripture text this morning are these. First, with regard to the spiritually dead state. Secondly, the spiritually alive state. And our third point is our application point: spiritually vibrant living. First, the spiritually dead state. We are all born dead in trespasses and sins. David testifies in Psalms, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." And Paul says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And again, that faith comes by hearing, in hearing by the word of God. So then, we are born the natural man, and we remain so until we are quickened by God the Holy Spirit. Now, I do not speak of babes and infants, young children and mentally challenged, for the scriptures give us enough to know that though these are likewise conceived in sin, these are the elect of God by his grace and in his perfect justice. But I do speak to everyone who has the light of God's gospel and chooses to reject it. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men." And I can picture he was pointing to the other guy standing back there. "Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The Pharisee did good works He was an upstanding guy by the world standards. He was an upstanding guy even by the religious standards of the day. But his motives were for vainglory, self-glory, and not God's glory. And God will not only see what we do, but He will see through why we do them. Let us learn then that charity of men apart from God avails nothing unless the heart and the motive is for the glory of Jesus Christ. To summarize, we are all born into this world with a terminal disease, sin. Spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And now, enter the good news. To bridge to our second point this morning, we shall read an extended passage of Scripture from the book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's obedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. James put it this way: mercy triumphs over judgment. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it is that all of those who have received the free gift of justification and salvation, which is through Jesus Christ, experience the spiritually alive state. Now our text says, "And you He made alive." The spiritual birth is God's work. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. If we could make ourselves spiritually alive, then we would surely become braggarts filled with pride. But we can no more make ourselves spiritually alive than we have made ourselves physically alive. There is no life apart from the miracle of God. You know, yesterday afternoon, there was a special, a PBS special, something along these lines, the cosmos and what we can learn. And this is a 1 hour long program where all of these people get into a room and try to figure out how everything began, how everything got there. And I thought to myself, I could have saved them an awful lot of trouble if they had consulted me and I had referred them to the very first verse in God's book. Such is the state of men. People want any explanation, anything, but God's truth. Just so they can think that they have a part in it. Sometimes even we as Christians fall into this danger. We think that we are doing a work for God, when in truth, God is doing a work through us. Amen. The spiritually alive state is an identification with Christ Jesus and His gospel. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Notice, just as spiritual death is a permanent condition for the rebel against God, spiritual life is also a permanent condition that outlasts and overcomes the grave. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our final point, a point of application: spiritually vibrant living. Let us continue in our cross-reference in 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You may be doing spiritual work. You may be praying earnestly and often, and you're not seeing the results. You may be witnessing, evangelizing to family, friends, those in our community, and you feel like you're just not seeing any results. But the scripture tells us that your labor, now we're assuming here that it's done out of a right heart motive, is not in vain in the Lord. God sees that. And who can tell when the Lord will bring abundant fruit of blessing? Just because you were obedient. Just because you showed up and did some spiritual work. Now, if you are spiritually dead, that is, without peace and communion with God through Jesus, I would expect that you would live as the heathen live, dead in trespasses and sins. But if God has made you alive, it should not be so. Your life is hidden in God, in Christ. It should be so different that your unsaved relations and friends see it, and it is a testimony to them of Christ's work in you. Are you more comfortable in the company of the world? Or are you more comfortable in the company of serious disciples of Jesus Christ? Do those people who are serious as a heart attack for the Lord make you uncomfortable? Well, good. Maybe God's trying to tell you something. Paul draws a contrast in the book of Galatians between those who are spiritually dead in their works and those who are spiritually alive in their works. It'll be a familiar passage to you, at least the latter end of it. Begin reading in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. I get the sense that the Apostle Paul ran out of breath and hopes we get the point. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're not dead in trespasses and sin anymore, then live like it. Finally, a word to whom it may concern. Let me ask you, are you dead or alive? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord, God, and Savior, or not? The last verse in the third chapter of John reads this way. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Don't be that guy. Set it straight before the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you for your word, for your objective truth. You have told us all that we need to know to find salvation and peace with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through the work that he did on the cross, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we come here before you, asking you to help us, let him work in us and through us, through the Spirit whom he sent to guide us into all truth and to guide us in the ways of holiness, which are pleasing to you. Lord God, if there are any unconverted souls, that miracle of a new birth might take place this morning. We know in your word that you've said today is a day of salvation. So Lord, may it be today. May today also be the day that we forsake that sin in our lives that is so easily besetting us each and every day. That struggle that we have. And give us help and give us victory through your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.